You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on the show, I'm talking with Kieran Brennan Hinton. Kieran, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Kieran, we're going to talk about your show, and of course, we've had a conversation about two years ago, about a show of yours that of course is close to this body of work, but quite a bit different, and in some respects. So maybe we should start with a title, Change of Scenery, because compared to the last interview, of course, we're looking at different views. But what's your thought in terms of that title, Change of Scenery?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's in a lot of ways it's very straightforward. Titles I've had in the past have often been literary references, and it's almost like text that maybe I feel like you need to know to enter into the paintings. But I feel like recently I've thought that like a title can really set a tone for a show. And in a way, like Change of Scenery is just kind of something we say to anybody we're seeing if we're going somewhere. And for me, at least, like a lot of the work that I've been doing previously, and especially the last time we spoke a couple of years ago for my last show, that work was really rooted in my own space, my apartment where I live in Toronto, places that I knew, and kind of painting this domestic familiar scenes and trying to paint my own sense of intimacy within that. And for over the past year, I've been traveling around a whole bunch where I was in Texas and Martha's Vineyard and Fisher's Island and kind of making these paintings throughout this whole experience of travel and having this kind of sense of change through the scenery and how that kind of impacts the paintings themselves, both in terms of how I connect to them and how I kind of use painting as a way to engage with a place that I'm not extremely familiar with.
Well, let's talk about that. So you've been traveling. These are residencies you've been on. Is that correct? Three residencies?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. But three kind of like official residencies and a couple other little painting trips here and there. And yeah, the first one was in Corsicana, Texas. So that was about a year ago. It was last October to December of 2024. And I mean, artist residencies are kind of this amazing space where they're varied, but they're really supportive in a lot of ways, where they kind of provide an artist with space and time to make work in a place where they aren't usually from or of. And I find them incredibly fruitful, especially painting from life. You kind of have this engagement with a place that's very direct and very intense for, you know, a period of a month or 2 months. And then you kind of move on and maybe you'll come back to it. But you kind of always have this moment that is about you and the place that you're at.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, to talk about those places or spaces, Corsicana, Texas is a place never heard of.
Yeah.
I mean, Texas is big, as they say.
Yeah, Texas is big, yeah.
What was it like there? Because there's also, you know, I mean, residencies are their own world to themselves, but you're also in a different culture each time to some degree, yeah. Also, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, very much so. And especially, like, I live in Toronto now, so coming from Canada, it's a very different world. Like, I did a road trip down to Corsicana, Texas, which is about an hour south of Dallas. So it's fairly close to a main city, but it's still kind of this, like, tiny little boom and bust oil town that had a couple oil booms, you know, at the turn of the 19th century, I guess it would have been, turn of the 20th century. And then, I don't know, engaging with this place where I was driving, took me about 4 days to get there, I was bringing all my canvases down, and then I get to this kind of one road town with a main street and an intersection, and it was in a studio space. And initially when I got there, it was just kind of this like whole sense of light that had been completely different from where I live normally, and kind of using light as this way of connecting to a place and kind of making a painting that could be familiar to somebody who maybe didn't know Corsicana specifically, but knew the temperature or the light or the dustiness of Texas, and how kind of that could be, you know, conserved and held onto in painting. And I think a lot of the time it is that. It's like kind of changing the place that you are to see things really fresh. And I found that before I had been making work in these very familiar places, and you kind of start to make assumptions about what you're looking at, whether it's like understanding, okay, that's how you draw an apple or a bowl or anything like that. It's almost like you become too trained on or too comfortable in the ways that you're describing the world. And I found being in Texas specifically, you're kind of like totally thrown off your bearings, at least for me personally, just not being there ever before, and kind of having painting as this grounding point where you're really trying to see things fresh and almost like let go of what you assume things are going to look like and what things are going to be in order to see them for what they are. And in a way, I think it's like a lot about practicing attention and being in a place and and spending time there and engaging with it, both in terms of getting to know people, but also just visually spending time waiting, being slow, and having things kind of emerge day after day, where the whole focus of a residency, it's like just to make work and just to be in a place that I find as a really kind of fruitful, amazing suspension of time that can kind of happen in those types of scenarios.
Yeah, so nice to hear that. That's so clearly about what a residency should be in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And it's great to hear that kind of sense of space. To talk about specific work, some of these are quite large. So when you're at these residencies, working on these, which I imagine are done right at the residency, like the White Pine I wanted to talk about, this is a really large work. Are you traveling with these, or they're shipped back to your studio?
Yeah, different scenarios. Like with a lot of different works, like with the Texas work, I basically brought down all the stretcher bars and I rolled up the canvas in my car and restretched everything there. And I knew the space that I had in Texas was going to be a very large studio. I had seen pictures of it beforehand, and also just felt really appropriate for the scale of the landscape and kind of the vastness to have the work be scaled proportionally. But with White Pine, actually, it was actually the only painting in the show where I wasn't able to do that, where I made, this one was in kind of Lake of Bays area, which is like northern Ontario. And so it was almost like the most familiar landscape for me. And I was up there for 2 weeks in the early summertime and just kind of making a series of small paintings, because that's all I had basically ready. It was all that would fit in the car, because this painting is 60 by 70 inches. So that is it wouldn't fit in my trunk, essentially. But a lot of the other work that's about 56 by 44 inches is basically proportionally scaled so that it can slide directly into my car, so that I'm able to travel with the work, whether that's going to a residency or going on site somewhere and bringing it off. It kind of makes all of those logistics a lot easier. But for the White Pine specifically, I made a really quick observational plein air painting that was about 9 by 12 inches, and then took that little painting back to my studio and kind of scaled it up, kind of in the vein of like a lot of Canadian landscape painters, of like Tom Thompson and the Group of Seven, and kind of using those on-site observations as kind of the grounding point. It's also like a practical concern, because when you're painting from life is moving while you're looking at it. So painting a sunset, it's like that actual period of time where it exists like that is maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. So there's almost like an impossibility of describing what you're looking at the scale that I'm trying to do. And I feel like it is kind of about that. It's like suspending time for a moment, or for, you know, a picture that could exist a lot longer than the original moment was.
Yeah, so true. And in that process, I mean, to continue talking about the White Pine, as you're saying, yeah, mm-hmm. that moment of sunset is so brief. So the sketch is in pencil with directions. I mean, talking about that specific tradition that you're following. Are you using color, or this is just kind of like pink here, yellow here, brown here?
They're pretty like realized full paintings, like the small version that is, and as I said, like most of the time I'm able to make the larger work directly on site, and that's kind of my preference, is because I feel like you create a duration of time for making the work, almost like a long exposure photograph, where everything that happens from beginning to end of the painting gets kind of included in that, you know, represented visually. But for this one, it was just kind of a more of a logistics concern. So I made this small painting, which is about 9 by 12 inches. And it's just basically like almost looks as in a JPEG format, like almost one-to-one with the large scale one. But then when you see them in space, they're completely different paintings, just because of how your body relates to the scale of each piece. But I kind of love that it allowed me to kind of simplify things, where sometimes when I make larger work, it gets really complicated and there's so much space to fill that you get really engaged in the details. But using the version of kind of making the small painting first, that was much more than like a pencil sketch. It was really just an oil painting on linen, basically the exact same materials and the color. And then scaling that up allowed like a simplification, kind of like a distancing that I really was drawn to. It actually like led me to kind of pursue this different way of working for this show specifically, where my eyesight is really bad. So I wear contacts every day, or I wear glasses. And I tried this once where I just took my glasses off and tried to make a painting, and it opened up everything, because you stop seeing things as boundaries and as objects that you can identify, and you start to see things just as shapes and color. And the blurriness actually kind of alleviates this pressure to describe the world, and more as a way of engaging with an atmosphere of a place. So I found it like these two techniques, whether it was making the small observational painting on site or kind of leaning into this lack of sight that I naturally have, as these ways of both distancing myself from what I was seeing, but also engaging with it maybe more wholeheartedly or more intensely through the capabilities that I have.
And where was that painted? What residency was that, or space was that, the White Pine?
Yeah, so that one was it was called Lake of Bays Residency. So it was basically just like a friend and a like an art patron collector in Toronto who has this cottage, like an old hunting lodge, I think is what it was, about 2 hours north of Toronto. So I went up there in, I think it was late June with my wife, and that's where I just brought like a series of maybe 10 little paintings, and we're living in this little cabin for about 2 weeks, and I was painting two paintings a day and kind of just trying to keep it moving. And it's kind of this like this speed and urgency at a residency, because you know you have a finite amount of time, where there is this kind of intensity of it capturing a moment, but also using the time that you have to be really, really kind of engaged and productive for that duration.
And in terms of the difference in light between these locations, talking about mm-hmm. Texas sky now, obviously, this one was done in the residency in Texas. Is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so those ones, like the both Texas Sky Sunrise and Texas Sky Sunset, are kind of like parallel paintings in a way. And those ones are all made fully on site. So I had a pretty large studio, and I brought a big easel down, and I would set up. And for the Texas Sky Sunrise painting, I would just wake up every morning at like 5:30 in the morning. I don't do that naturally, but there'd be a train that would go by, and it wouldn't stop in the town because the town was too small, and I think it was just kind of carrying cargo from South Texas to North Texas. But it would blow its horn every morning about 5 o'clock, 5:30. So I would wake up, and then I would have this amazing light where the sun was just peeking above the horizon. And the studio would be filled. So I was like, oh, like I could make a painting during this moment. And like that moment is really, really brief, where, you know, the sunrise, it's like really this like special space of night turning into daytime, and like there's a belief in possibility and all these things that are kind of happening all at once. So I would wake up just before sunrise, set up my easel, and paint for about 45 minutes until that moment had passed. And then the next day I would come back to it and make that same painting over and over and over again. So I think in a lot of ways, these sunrise or sunset paintings are really like accumulations or collages of time on top of each other to try and get at this sense of one moment that is fleeting, that is moving. And I found a lot also like being in Texas, like looking at these windows and looking towards the horizon, there's this whole pursuit of, or like an idea of like a horizon line that existed in the distance. That was kind of this place that you would never get to. And in a way, like driving to Texas, driving to Martha's Vineyard, driving to these places that are away from home, for me at least, like you're always driving towards the distance, but you never maybe get there. Or even when you get there, you can kind of turn around in a way. And I feel like painting these horizon lines is kind of this way of engaging with this sense of a place or this sense of distance that was really unfamiliar to me.
Yeah, and the sense of light itself. You know how they talk mm-hmm. about light is different in Athens, light is different
yeah,
here,
yeah.
there. You know, between the Lake of Bay and Texas,
yeah.
that's quite a stretch of land. Do you notice the quality of light being somehow different between Lake of Bay and Texas?
Very much so. And it's almost like something that I wouldn't be able to describe in words. And I feel like in a lot of ways, that's why I make paintings of them. It's almost to have this like relationship and a memory of a place. But in Texas, I think because it's so dry, there's this like dustiness across the horizon. And you would have this moment where the sun would set and the sky would become this like pink band for a little while. And then it would, you know, and then it would disappear. But it's something that I'd never really seen anywhere else before, but felt so specific to being in Corsicana at that time of year. And I imagine if I went back, you know, in the springtime or in the summer, it would be a very different experience. But I do feel like it is like this vastness and the dustiness that, and the lack of humidity in a lot of ways, that really contributes to this clarity and intensity of light that was really rooted in Texas. And I had this interesting experience with somebody who came into the gallery the other day, where they were looking at actually the Texas Sky Sunset painting, and they were from Texas originally, and they didn't know the exact place or the exact location, but they knew that feeling. And I kind of love that possibility that the paintings could kind of be ways of speaking to a place, not through through specifics in terms of what they're representing, but also through an atmosphere and how it could kind of resonate with somebody who knows what it feels like to be there. And that's kind of what I'm trying to hold on to, I feel like, with this work.
I like that so much, yeah. You mean trying to hold on? What you're trying to hold on is to a sense of place through the atmosphere there? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, kind of like trying to be very attentive to the atmosphere and how you can kind of communicate a sense of place through atmosphere, through light, and all those things.
So there's another painting that also is infused with light, as all of these are. Your surfaces now and a few years ago when I last talked with you were so much about the light within the space and the surfaces within the space. Fisher's Island Living Room. This, of course, is a painting that's a bit different than the rest. You're inside, I imagine, the residency or the home of the residency looking out.
Yeah, I mean, kind of a combination. So this one was in Fisher's Island, which is a little island off of Connecticut, off of New London, Connecticut. It's technically a part of New York. It's kind of like the end of Long Island below Connecticut. And it's this tiny little island where this residency called Lighthouse Works is founded and exists. And it's this amazing space where they have three artists and two writers at a time, and you're there for 6 weeks. And kind of in the same way with Texas, like you're just kind of like in this place that I would never go to kind of during my normal life. But I found myself on this island, and it was just after summertime. So it kind of cleared out, and there was this like amazing openness to exploring, to painting. And I met these people at, we gave artist talks when I first got there, and I met this family, and they own the oyster farm on Fisher's Island. So the Fisher Island Oyster Farm. Which is an amazing place, and they supply a lot of restaurants in New York and Connecticut and kind of all of New England. And they were about to go on vacation. They were about to leave for a couple of weeks. So they're like, "Oh, you can feel free to go into our house and make a painting or make some paintings if you want." And I wasn't sure whether to take them up on it, but I went over to their place and just kind of started looking around. And it felt like this interior and this living room that had so much life in it, but also it was something that you would usually normally paint of my own life. But it was really interesting for me, at least, to try and examine and have a sense of intimacy and sentimentality with a place that I'm not very familiar with and that I don't know. And in a way, it's almost like painting somebody's life, like painting a stranger's life with intensity and intimacy and what that would feel like. And these were kind of some of the paintings I was talking about, also where I would take my glasses off as a way to just really be engaged in the moment, and kind of not get obsessive about details, but really let light happen. And I feel like kind of what we were talking about before too is like light is this thing that you almost can't touch. And I think a lot of ways these paintings are very material. They're made of paint, they're made of, pigment and oil, and they're made on linen. They're very material objects. But in a lot of ways, light and painting light is this experience of material and immaterial that you're always pursuing, and kind of chasing at the same time.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So, to talk about a little bit the kind of I would imagine inspiration and how you work off each other in a residency like that with writers and painters. Was there a conversation that in any way got into some of this work? Is it because that's part of the environment, right? You're not just alone painting. You're in conversation. And
You're
does that
engaging, yeah,
conversation,
for sure.
does that
Yeah, I
conversation
mean,
get into the works itself, you think?
I think maybe indirectly it does, but one thing that was really incredible about that specific residency is that the level of hospitality, where we would all have dinner together every night at 7:30, and two people who were basically in charge of like the cooking and like the facilitating and making these conversations happen. So it created this bond where you have this closeness to this group of people that you've never met before, and ideally you stay friends afterwards, but you also just go back into your lives. So there's just brief moments of residencies in a similar way to making paintings from life or on site, where you're engaged really intensely for a brief amount of time, and then you kind of move on to the next one, or you go somewhere else. And yeah, I mean, there was a writer who was working on her book at the time. There was another poet that was there. There was people coming into it from different points in their careers, and I thought it was really helpful just to kind of see, have fresh eyes on the work that I was making, and kind of having a sense of comfort and hospitality and support that was a little ways outside of the art world, but was really just about generating and creating ideas together.
I like that so much. Are you planning on going on more? Are there one scheduled for this winter?
I'm taking a bit of a break, I think. It was a lot last year, a lot of being away from home. So right now I'm trying to figure out like what a studio practice looks like for me. Like a lot of the time it's just like kind of outward chasing, or over the past year it's kind of been this chasing of a horizon line that exists, always in the distance, and chasing subject matter and kind of seeing what that could be and what that could lead to for the paintings. But I'm really curious right now like what painting in Toronto in the wintertime means. Like, it's obviously, it gets very cold here, it gets very gray, it gets very blue, and what that kind of prolonged sense of looking could emerge, and maybe slowing down and kind of re-engaging with my environment that I grew up in. And I feel like that was is kind of what I'm most excited about right now. With the residency, they really kind of require this whole, you know, packing up your life into a couple suitcases, loading the car with paintings, going somewhere and doing the whole thing again. And I feel like in a way I need a little bit of a recharge just for the winter time at least.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense to go back home and focus there. So it's been such a pleasure talking with you. For listeners, of course, there's links so they can learn more about this show and look at some of the works in more detail. I want to ask you one more question before we go. What are you reading at this at the moment?
Yeah, I'm reading a couple books. Actually, that's something we didn't talk about, but is that like narrative and books actually really informed this whole show in a lot of ways. Like when I was in Texas, I was reading Lonesome Dove and a lot of the Larry McMurtry books. And kind of as this way of like engaging in a place through prose or through the literature of that place, because I'm only there for 1 month or 2 months, and it's hard to get a sense of where you are while only being there for a brief time. So I find kind of reading these like American epics were this way, was this way of engaging in a landscape and in the texture of a place. So I'm actually rereading Lonesome Dove right now, and it's, you know, it's a 700-page book, so it's taken me a while. And then when I was in Martha's Vineyard and kind of Fisher's Island as well, I was reading Moby Dick, which kind of played into that same kind of idea that, like, you could locate where you were based on kind of these historical fictions or these narratives that were kind of a part of a larger kind of American canon. But also what I'm reading right now is a book called Blank Spaces by W. David Marks, which is kind of more of a cultural analysis of the past 25 years. Through music, through art, through fashion, through all these different kind of ways that culture moves and shows itself. So it's a broad range, and I often listen to audiobooks while I'm painting, so that's usually my way of kind of keeping things, keeping my mind going while also kind of engaging visually with the world.
So in terms of audiobooks, is Blank Space an audiobook? Is that one of the ones you're listening to as audio?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Blank Space is, I mean, it's definitely a physical copy as well, but I'm just listening to it while I'm now, while I'm in the studio stretching new canvases or when I'm cleaning the house, I'm listening to Blank Spaces.
Kieran, thanks so much for talking to me today. It's really been a pleasure. Thanks for putting together this beautiful show. And again, thanks for your time today, Kieran.
Amazing. Thank you so much just for taking the time to chat and just taking an interest in my work. I really appreciate it. And it's been so great to follow up on our conversation from a couple of years ago. So thank you very much, Bernard.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.